Actually, the topic is more code beauty and project beauty, because code beauty is more about taste. First, I'm repeating the Bitrash principles. First, we have KISP, keep it simple and perfect. This says that you make one tool for one task, and then you keep it small, so one person can grasp it easily, because this is important for the future, so people can contribute. Decide when a tool is done, then maintain it. So things are done, you just keep them, and if you have a new idea, something really new, but should be inside, just fork it and do it somewhere else. Because this is how most projects get big and bloated. That's how they get ugly and unusable. Like you have all this upgrade stuff, and when you upgrade something, doesn't look like before. Then you have someone forking it to have an old version, like look at GNOME. Oh, it looked good, but why didn't they just make a new GNOME? No, they moved forward from the old one. So people had to fork it. But what if you keep the 1, 2, 3, and maybe one usable too? Then the base the tool on principles, keep to the Bitrash principles, and things should be operable. But there are other principles too. But if you don't keep to any principle, you will just throw source code lines into something, and it will just bloat, and you won't control it at some time. And this allows people to use your tool in a way you cannot imagine them. Like, imagine the Unix tools we have now. You can use them to control robots. You can use them to now work on web information and inform people on Facebook. But in the meanwhile, you sort something, you grab something. Yes, that's not what people who first wrote those tools intended them to be used for. Then keep on command line interfaces. The Unix command line has proven to be future-proof, and that's why it's in the principles. It forces you to have like command line options and things being easy scriptable. Only keeping to some graphical user interface restricts applications, and it restricts professional users, the users you want to send in patches, the users who think who are able to send in patches. You restrict them to participate in your development. So you reduce your effect on using the advantages of open source. So you want these expert users to get in new ideas, and experts use the command line. They don't use graphical user interfaces after a certain education. When possible, use GPL version 3. Yes, this is a point where we can discuss. It's not really needed, but as like 2 weeks ago, there was some drama on Void Linux, and some old leader was complaining that people were using his stuff and they were not giving him enough reference. But use GPL or AGPL, it depends on where you use it, of course. But if you use AGPL, you will know that Google will avoid you, because if Google avoids you, you know that some license is really working. The difference between GPL and AGPL is that AGPL forces someone to open the source code of some service. The new modern web is like that. GPL, you can use it, but then you won't get the source code if someone just hosts some service. But if AGPL, the service source code has to be provided too, and that's why Google avoids it. Evil Bob says to the Void drama that they realized that XBPS, that's the package manager of Void Linux, from BSD2 clause to BSD3 clause. Yes, but the thing is, there are many different kind of licenses, but there are some people who have principles like, I don't want my stuff to be used in war machines, so there are licenses for that. That depends on you, but these are the advantages of GPL, that's why it's recommended. Users are programmers, and this is the principle of making the tools for us as programmers, to make our life better, not like the basic commercial idea of making a product which sells well. It's about making something you would use every day without advertisement, without tracking, It just works, and you can reuse it, and it makes your life easier. So, so the thing is, this is a hobby, most of the open source, and to keep things going, and not just commercial big repositories no one can maintain without using 8 hours of their day, it has to be simple. So linguistics is saying that for command line, write programs to handle text streams because that's the universal interface. That's what McIlroy said. Yes, that's true, the text streams. But we also know the other side of text streams, and that was XML. Too much abstraction, too much markup language. So the middle ground is the thing. Yes, first it was just text streams, but you can go to the complete extremes. Actually, not XML, it's SGML. That's the complete extreme. It's really unparsable crap. So the thing actually here about users or programmers is get people involved. And if they complain because it's a hobby, don't let them use up your lifetime, but allow them to easily contribute. Bug reports are patches. That's nearly the same. It's if someone, it's not like this is a supermarket where you can go and complain and change it. That's what most people learn nowadays, that things are a market and you can complain as a customer. But open source is different. Open source is our hobby. You go to a club, and if you go to a club like your flying club or your fishing club, you keep to certain rules because this is the hobby of people and it needs to keep them happy. Of course, you can go too restrictive, then you have a club where which no one enters. So always keep to the middle ground. And the tool written for programmers, then you expect people to be programmers. It's not like you, like the where Suckless failed, you can go and just use a web browser and the web browser makes you Suckless. No, you prove that you are a bit right by just sending the patch, and then we can discuss based on the patch. That's easier instead of just some higher philosophical discussion. If you write for end users, then the error reporting shouldn't be a bug report. It should be something simpler, like asking the people really what they want to do practical, and not like bug reports, because bug reports, it's a different kind of culture. It's just you don't think to the end of the problem, you just formulate the problem into a system which then has some magic of easily solving bugs. But I only see bug trackers to grow. They don't get smaller, they just grow, and some when no one cares about them anymore. So bug reports are for mediocre programmers. We should force people to become better programmers. Let them send patches, and if they even do it wrong at the first time, they learn through the steps. It's not that hard. Then straightforward documentation. Make one entry point for the documentation, like README, man page, or the source code. Don't use like Java doc. Don't use like new info pages. Stuff which requires a steep learning curve. I mean, just opening a text file, that's enough. Everyone can do that. It's a simple process. But if you have to open a web browser to see some HTML, or have to open some graphical programming environment to be able to see all the directory structure and the combination of the factory doing factories of implementations, that's not really easy to read, and it will get people to avoid this when they post your patch as a hobby. So the freedom of language, that's because of Suckless. Suckless was saying that there should be only C. Of course, C is the best language out there, and everyone should use it. But you can write simple code in Python. You can write simple code in Ruby. But once you use like newer features in Python, it starts to look ugly, like in C++. Many languages force you into this ugly behavior, or you never learned the good way to write this code. So this list is not complete, because the topic of real code beauty will never end. The beauty disclaimer. Now we come to the part of code beauty. This is my view on it. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Everyone has a different view, and there is never just one definition of beauty. how I evaluate projects. So when I see something new, something coming up, oh, this is a good new project and it does this, then I just go to the website and just try to find the source. So I look for some Git repository, something to download. It's not that I just read documentation or whatever. I mean, that's all propaganda. I want to see the source. Then I download it, I extract it, and look at it. It shouldn't be like curl with root with Kubernetes, install something, sh, whatever. Because if these people have like a script and it's not just a makefile, you know, they just put their prototype into a script and it's for you to execute it. Or maybe some hidden button where you agree to an NDA and then wait for redirect and then get some ugly source code which no one built for like 10 years. So they can pretend to be open source. That's not how it should be. Then I extract it. So let's just some standard format. It shouldn't be just run this script. I mean, we are professionals. We know what can be done. This is to fool people. Even if you think people would run just some script as root, you haven't thought about the implications. And of course, never say manual installs and requirements like having do this Docker image and run this Docker image. This is already too much abstraction and gets me, at least me, annoyed. Then compile, just make. Maybe go to the config.mk. Maybe it's configure. I mean, configure is usable, but it wastes many CPU cycles. ADC, that configure is a big offender, CPU cycle offender. It repeats the stuff. I mean, we have standardized now on POSIX and some environments. Configure is something of the past. I mean, we can keep it for historical reasons, but new stuff, we should come to a C environment which works everywhere. Not, don't ninja my ass. Emerge some strange build system because it's new and you never ever actually read the principles of make. That's why you rebuild everything or made your own build system. Or never learned about make having parallel compilation. Or then requiring some Ruby upgrade because there's a new feature. Maybe we just keep like to make, which is an old tool and it doesn't change that often. Keep to a simple syntax. Joshua is saying that normally you have like a 17,000 line standard autoconf generated configure script for a 24k lines project. Yes, that's right, the configure scripts are really big. Now but dependencies make and it's done. This means that it compiles, so people were making it small. Of course there are some projects which require other dependencies, but just lower this level, because many people just write something on their machine and then only this machine is used for actually developing something. So you never find out about problems on other machines. So it shouldn't be like this, like, oh, this requires a specific Mesa version. Try to compile Mesa at a specific version, and then you realize maybe some newer project requires a newer Mesa. How do you expect these people to be next to each other? And of course, don't do something which people using Gentoo realize, is that the people are, or maybe out of missing experience, just add some example script which requires some interpreted language, and this then pulls in the dependencies. Like you have now a Python dependency for glibc because of some script, and this gives you a circular dependencies which you have to resolve manually on Gentoo. Of course, you don't realize this like on Debian where you have a full binary distribution, but once things need to be compiled, you find out which crap you're using. So running it, just run it like help, like a man page, like commands, and not kubectl something to run some YAML, then get the pods, then run catctl. Catctl is like some Docker image. Don't make it too complicated. I mean, it's not that hard to solve things. So how I evaluate code beauty? So this was just about how I see the project, because just from looking at the project, you already see if someone has the view of making it beautiful or if they actually don't really care. They just wanted to push out some project for maybe their university or their or employer. How I evaluate code beauty? I made this a bit shorter because there have been really long discussions on code style, on languages. All the different languages have different idioms, so it depends on you what you're using for your code. You don't have to use every strange feature of a language. So what are things that make me instantly vomit when I see some language? Like as you see double column, or you see some class and some class, whatever. I mean, this is abstraction, which no one needs. If you look at C, it's just a pointer to some type, or type, then something, type, and then you have different pointers. The best thing is to have pointers to this stuff. It's not easy to read. I just avoid it. I just try to find some way in this code, if I have to modify it, to not have to use this. Because also, every class abstraction requires you to know what's in that class. So it's more like only the people actually who wrote this know what's in that class. And if you have a class, depending on a class or a class struct, actually this stuff is from Ruby. Rust is not so easy to understand. That's why there was an article 3 days ago where people were asking, everyone wants to use Rust, but the question is, why aren't they using it? Well, it's easy because the syntax is simply ugly. It's that easy to answer. Just use C. And some tool which checks it. Simple language syntax can be everywhere. See Python, the old syntax, but newer stuff gets as ugly as Rust. And make it easy to find modules includes. So in Z you already have tools like C-scope, but it can be bad too, like all the different standards. But if you look, for example, at Rust, you don't even have a logic in the modules or in Go. It's all based on where on GitHub to find it. You have to, it's not easy to read for someone else. So this is what I have to think of. Did the developer think of other developers reading it? Then another thing is, please use English everywhere. If you write your code in French because you are French, you're already reducing people to use it. It's not easy to find people who actually read your code. It's like maybe 10,000 or 20,000 people all over the world. But in France, this is even less. Do not use paths and modules. That's what, if you look at Java and they use like domains and subdomains, this is just wasting lifetime to cd there or go there and read all the code depending on code. Why? Do not depend on any graphical user interface for auto-generation. It just proves that you are a loser, because auto-generation just means you never learned how to really program in this language and why you have to avoid it. So can you sleep good at night for the code you produce today? That's what you always have to ask yourself. So don't depend on ugly libraries, please, just because it's cool. Don't just add some library like Boost. Boost never boosted anything, it never made anything faster. Just reduce your algorithm, reduce your logic, reduce your complexity. It gets your code faster and simpler to read and easier to deploy. Think of small devices which cannot compile LibreOffice just to generate your documentation. Yes, just because it's nice to have some XML metadata for your documentation, don't do it. Think of it if it's a text file, which is enough, because then small devices don't require Perl for as a dependency, and your software can be used everywhere. Look at BusyBox, how it was made. If you do not care about that, well, then you don't really care about open source, because open source is about using everywhere. Joshua is saying he had many stories of, I wrote it from scratch, now I can run it on my laptop. Yes, many projects are just written for one environment. Skin Grapher is asking, what is a better language for building simpler tools, C, Common Lisp, actually, or a personal tool set at H or AWK? Skin Grapher, the thing is, it depends. That's what we are talking about in Code Beauty. If it's a small tool which just allows make, so like look at our projects we have at Bitrise. The thing is, if you keep the make, then people just make, and if they want to find out how you compile something, they just open the make file. But if you have like some new special cargo build for Rust, then people have to read up on how to use cargo, how to use like in NPM, the package management, and this already assumes that you are wasting their lifetime to read up on it. But if you have like makefile, then the make, then you have there the what you would type in to compile your project. So this is like a step by step. So you have a common interface, then you go to the next one, and then you see like, oh, there's Java run to run the jar file. So Joshua is saying Lex language so simple to bootstrap. Yes, that's of course something like Rust, where you download some binary which is not signed to run some binary. That's really ugly. I mean, at least C, for the basic C, you could type in the compiler from some book, and so you can bootstrap it. When we're talking about fetal position, same at work. Ogilvob says that him writing simple twos and scripts is not comparable to Rust. Yeah, the thing with Rust is that they put some features like security or overflows into the language, and by doing so, they made the language look ugly. For example, look at C. C can be written really beautiful without the abstractions of ugly definitions, and then you have tools like Walgrind or Astrace or some features in GCC which then make the things secure or give you hints how to avoid shooting into your foot. And Joshua is saying if you write your bootstrapping compiler in C++, you need to build old GCC compiler to compile more recent GCC compilers to compile C++ to compile the next bootstrapping. Yes, that's a problem that you now have GCC written in C++ to compile C. But that's the good thing about open source, we can use alternatives. That's why we need them. And that's why we need Bitrise. The GCC being used or being only consisting of C++ is what I said, you just stop. You have a small C compiler, it just works, and then you don't make it C++ because it's the new hype. But here it has happened, and it caused many problems. Like all the problems now with C++ removing security features because of optimization. You have to compile some code with no optimization at all, so the security is kept. So where we are. So the thing is, see the last point on the slides, please. Is open sourcing is a different view. Like you have the corporate view of I just write this and it does something, but with open source you are like a scientist. You put something into the public, and by this you have a peer review. And this. Some corporate programmers want to avoid this because then people easily realize they're losers. But this way, you get adapted to this. You write better code over time. You adapt to the thinking that other people will read what I do. So see the beauty in others. This was how I see things when I see a new project. And there are many views. But the real beauty is when someone else sees what you do as beauty, as something beautiful. Not just like a child, which of course is always supported by a parent. It's about you being mature and talking to other mature people. Think of others when writing code. Think of the others when packaging something. Like think of people who do package this for distributions. So don't make it ugly. Think of others when you add some dependency. Think of your future self when having to maintain this. Read it in 10 years if you want to modify it. If you used some now then hip language, you have to write everything. If you used C, the chance is high that you don't have to change much. So we are at the questions section. Anyone has some questions or suggestions? Yes, I'm not just giving you some. This is beauty, because that's not possible. That was not my intention of the talk. Talk was more to give you some steps to repeat how I look at things when judging if something's beautiful. Joshua is saying, what about Rust, Go, and Sic, the new compiler languages? Joshua, the thing is that if all of them would be. I mean, Go is easily usable as just a compiler. This is nice. But it can pull in modules from somewhere remote. That's what I don't like. Rust, as I said, I don't like the syntax at all. That's why I'm not using it. I'm avoiding all Rust projects at all. I think in like 5 years, no one will talk about it anymore because it's too complex for new programmers. Sick, I heard of it, but didn't look at it. Looks too hipster. Linguinix is saying that everyone's just cooking with water. Higher languages are just translated to machine code. Well, except for Java, maybe. Joshua is saying that actually it was is developing some IMAP client. He was asking why WebASM specific modules were compiled in by installing some IMAP client. Well, all projects are developed in some time frame, and depending on what you know, you will use the tools. So people who wrote them IMAP client wanted that stuff to run in a web browser, maybe? Because it's a new view on some old IMAP client from like 1995, only thinks of using it on the command line. Okay, there are no other questions. So I think I will just keep on doing the presentations. It's not that long. If anyone wants needs a break, just tell me. Joshua is posting some. Oh yeah. Clapping, 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 clapping. Yes, that was the presentation. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Joshua was posting some GitHub link, untrunk, and instead of having a make file, there was just a Docker file. Yes, that's really ugly. I mean, just try to modify some Docker image to your needs. There's too much logic in Docker. I mean, it abstracts so much crap, so you don't have to see it, but it makes it unflexible too.